Welcome to Physiotherapy Chats, a Singapore Physiotherapy Association podcast.
When you go to sleep, like, you start thinking about everything. The state of the planet, really. And the potential future of it. And knowing that there's only so much you can do as one person, I think that's the anxiety, because you just feel a little bit powerless in it all. Recently, I'm also struggling a bit to fall asleep naturally. Sometimes it plays out its physical effects. That was Sam Johnston from Manchester in a BBC Radio 1 documentary talking about eco-anxiety, a phenomenon described as a chronic fear of environmental doom by the American Psychiatric Association, APA, in 2017. Although currently not recognized as an official condition in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, DSM-5, mental health professionals and researchers have increasingly been hearing more reports of how a changing climate has impacts on many people's mental and physical health, as we heard in Sam's account. Here in Singapore, we are relatively sheltered from the major effects of the climate crisis, such as floods, droughts, and other natural disasters. I used to think that the annual haze was a good reminder that we all have shared responsibilities as co-inhabitants of an increasingly sick planet. However, the COVID-19 pandemic has revealed many more environmental gaps that we, as occupants of the Earth, as physiotherapists, can no longer take for granted. Welcome to Physio Tracks, a pop-up podcast of Physio Chats, brought to you by the nature-loving crew of the Environmental Physiotherapy SG. I am one of your hosts and guides, Paula Ng. In this series, we hope to share with you all things related to environmental awareness and planetary health impact on healthcare practices within the physiotherapy profession. We hope to engage you, our listeners, to join us in whatever little ways you can to make conscious choices to contribute and protect our human and planetary health. In today's opening episode, we have with us a special guest from Down Under. He has been a long-time advocate for preservation of the natural environment and has been invited to share more on the topic of environmental physiotherapy in an SPA-exclusive webinar happening on 11th of November this year. He's here with us today to share with us some insight to this webinar. In his research and expertise within the stress and pain field, the natural environment has been recognized for its stress buffering effects. He has long called out and promoted change within the physiotherapy profession through his numerous blogs and editorials in publications and journals, sharing ways to reduce his carbon footprint through his personal lifestyle and professional choices. Most recently, he has also championed his institution to become a participating organization for Environmental Physiotherapy Agenda 2023. Let's now welcome Lester E. Jones, a senior lecturer from the Singapore Institute of Technology. Hi, Lester. Indeed, our pleasure to have you on our show today. How do you think we as physios can play our part for the environment? Or rather, as you pointed out in your editorial, does the physiotherapy profession promote a culture of environmental sustainability?
This is the question that I asked myself in 2009 when I was asked to write an editorial for the journal Physiotherapy Research International. At the time, there was a real groundswell around the world to reduce carbon emissions and hopefully avoid the catastrophic climate change. And that discussion was particularly relevant to me as I was living in Melbourne at the time. And nearby wildfires killed more than 270 people. It was really just horrific. But it was the first time that I noticed commentators starting to make a link between extreme weather and that tragedy, that bushfire, which we call in Australia, we call that Black Saturday.
Yikes, that must be terrible. What do you remember about that day?
It was real. That really was an extraordinary day. The morning I'd taken my seven-year-old daughter to one of her friend's birthday parties. The journey was about 2 kilometres and I rode across with her in a cargo bike we used to transport her and her sister around. And as I was pedalling along, I could just feel it was going to be like one of those extra hot days. And by the time we were riding home from the party at about 1 p.m, the north wind was really hot and really strong, like really battling against it. And there's clearly an eeriness about the day. And there's already some haziness from bushfires in the area. It turned out that day was Melbourne's hottest recorded ever day, over 46 degrees Celsius. And it was such a tragedy. And lots of local wildlife, of course, died as well, really awful.
So how did you relate that tragedy to physiotherapy?
For me, the Black Saturday fires were just another reminder that we could no longer be complacent about taking action to prevent climate change. And so in the editorial, I decided to question the collective actions, I suppose, of those who make up the profession of physiotherapy. I first explored whether the physiotherapy profession promoted a culture of environmental sustainability and noted that some of the professional organisations, I think it was particularly the CSP, the Chartered Society of Physiotherapy in the UK, and also the American Association, had sort of created position statements or policy promoting environmental sustainability. Some had also made some rudimentary actions like offering paperless options for members' magazines and things like that. That was like 12 years ago now, and there seems to have been a bit less commitment from governments and people generally over most of that time. But I feel recently there's a real resurgence of interest and activity again.
And what are some of these activities that you have noticed more recently?
So one of the groups that is responsible for a large amount of the current discussion is the Environmental Physiotherapy Association. This has been led by Philip Marich, and he and other members of the association have done a great job at promoting ideas of planetary health and its links to human health. And this included a session at the World Physiotherapy Congress held earlier this year. The members of the association are also contributing articles to professional journals. So not only do we have a group of active physiotherapists interested in promoting this cause, but we also have conference organisers and journal editors who are accepting these contributions, which is a really great sign. And so perhaps to get back to the opening question, does the physiotherapy profession promote a culture of environmental sustainability? I would say that there are elements of the profession that are promoting this, and they seem to have an increasingly powerful voice. Hopefully more and more physios and physio organisations will also start to take action right now, building on that momentum.
Yep. So the formation of the EPA was definitely a light of hope for me, as it gave me a channel to articulate my professional concerns and interests in nature-based solutions for mental and physical health. So what do you think are some of the ways we can contribute to this environmental effort as individuals and as a profession then?
There's actually so much we can do, but I think it's also important to not set too high expectations. Like any behaviour change, if the challenge is too hard, then we revert back to our old ways pretty quickly. And for me, an important thing to remember is if you make a small change and then can sustain it over a number of years, it can actually have a big impact.
Do you have any examples of changes you have made?
The most impactful one, I think, was giving up car ownership. It has been more than 20 years now, and it was an easy decision at the time because I was about to move from Sydney to London. And then when living in London, as any listeners who have been there will know, there's no shortage of public transport, trains and buses to get around the city. It's sometimes a bit dirty and smelly and very crowded, but you really don't need a car. The harder task was probably not buying a car when we made our return back to Australia and lived in Melbourne, where transport wasn't so good. And by that time, we also had two kids.
And how did your environmental values affect your parenting?
First, I took the position that adding two more humans to the world came with a big responsibility to minimise their environmental impact. A big concern for me and the lovely Ingrid was the environmental disaster that are disposable nappies. So we were determined to minimise that by using cloth nappies and made it easier on ourselves by paying for a nappy washing service, which I think cost us £7 a week, which must be the best £7 a week we've ever spent. We also wanted to avoid buying lots of plastic. One thing that surprised a few people, especially Ingrid's parents, who are Singaporean, by the way, was that we did not buy any baby's bottles. I used a glass cup when Ingrid was not around to do the breastfeeding, and so then discovered this amazing feeding cup called a doity, which was plastic, but the girls used that for years. So I guess there are many things that you can do as an individual, but as I said earlier, it needs to be something that's not too hard. I also find that by adopting a mindset that I want to reduce by my impact on the planet, I can start to make decisions much more automatically. So things like rejecting a plastic bag, for example, which reminds me when how horrified I was when I came to Singapore and saw so many people with their little plastic carrier for their hot drinks, like really horrified. what is that? But another thing I find myself doing is when about to cross at a zebra crossing, I'll check the traffic and wait for a break so I do not cause too much interference in the traffic flow, and definitely avoid stopping a large vehicle like a bus or a truck. This sounds a bit OCD, doesn't it? So perhaps I've already talked about myself too much, probably oversharing. Shall we drill down onto some more physiotherapy specific ideas?
Haha. Yes, we shall, but just to share one of my personal quirks is that I like to tear apart 2 to 3 ply napkins and use just that single ply to clean my not very big mouth, and then I can reuse another 2 to 3 more times. Right, so I believe our listeners have a pretty good idea of some of our green behaviours by now. And yes, can you share some ways forward for a physiotherapist and the profession?
One of the things we do not have any research on is the impact physiotherapy practice has on the environment. This would be really valuable to guide us in any changes we need to make. We can still identify some things we could do without that formal research, of course. The first that I'd suggest is looking at how we might be able to reduce our use of things. And one thing that comes to mind straight away are exercise bands. These elastic exercise bands have been well marketed, and they're so convenient that we perhaps overestimate how valuable they are. Firstly, there's the notion that whether the elastic resistance is the most valuable training context for our non-elastic movement. But second, one of the big sells is that there are various resistances offered, but the level of resistance is also affected by the setup, so like the angle of pull, the tension in the band, etc. And I don't think we can guarantee that the setups people create at home are optimal, or if even people use them. So if I start to question their therapeutic value and look at the environmental impacts of production, and also in terms of, you know, what happens to them when we stop using them, maybe we need to decide it's not the option we want to choose. But I'm also aware there are many physios out there listening who cannot remember a time before these coloured exercise bands, and they might struggle to know what to do without them. In the end, though, I guess, as I mentioned before, once we adopt the mindset, then I suspect we will come up with some really interesting and innovative ways to reduce the impact of clinical practice.
And what about at the institutional level?
We need to recognise that any influence we have on the institutions we work in is likely much more impactful than the things we do as individuals. Of course, those working in management level can more easily involve themselves in decision making or policy. But all of us can play a role in raising awareness, and increasingly this can be done alongside working groups that the institution has already established to promote sort of environmental friendly practices, which are also often saving the institution some dollars. But if your institution doesn't have one, maybe that's the next step for you to try and get one set up. In my workplace, we recently signed up to the Environmental Physiotherapy Association's Agenda 2023. And the aim of the agenda is to ensure that every student beginning entry-level physiotherapy education will have an education regarding the relationship between the environment, human health, and functioning. And SIT already ran a module on global health, including issues related to planetary health and climate change. But by being part of this process, we can exchange ideas and content with other physiotherapy schools across the world. I think that's a pretty exciting place to be. And perhaps a nice place to end this podcast, I suggest. Thanks everyone for listening.
Right. Thanks very much, Lester. That sounds all exciting and hopeful. That's the spirit we kind of need to embrace ourselves to deal with all this as a community, instead of being dragged down by the gloom and doom of this unknown climate change and future. This has been a very insightful introduction to environmental physiotherapy. And hopefully, we'll have more listeners coming forward to join us in this effort as a profession.
You're welcome, and should I also mention that I will be presenting more on this topic at an SPA webinar coming up on the 11th of November. Hopefully I'll have some new activity in Singapore to share by then.
And that was Lester Jones sharing with us what environmental physiotherapy is about. Do keep a lookout for his upcoming webinar in November. And if you had enjoyed this soundbite, do give us a shout or comment. We welcome your contributions and look forward to bringing more exciting content on all things related to environmental physiotherapy. I am Paula Ng, your PhysioTracks guide, signing off.
You have been listening to Physio Chats, a podcast series brought to you by the Singapore Physiotherapy Association. Follow us on Spotify and our YouTube channel.